If your toddler has been diagnosed with autism or is waiting for a diagnosis, you're going to want to pay attention for the next 60 seconds. Happy Ladders is parent-led early autism therapy that empowers you, the parent, to teach your toddler essential developmental skills through play. Studies have shown that the parent-led model is highly effective while eliminating frustration over long wait lists or the worry about losing precious developmental time, all without the disruption of people coming into your home. Happy Ladders includes activities that target 150 essential developmental skills every toddler needs, as well as assessments in four different developmental areas. There's also an exclusive community of parents just like you and professional coaching to ensure success for both you and your toddler. To learn more, get a free trial, and take advantage of an exclusive limited-time offer for my listeners, visit happyladders.com. That's HappyLadders. Use the code TheAutismDad at checkout to save 50% off the monthly membership. Plus, get a free one-on-one session as well as access to the Tantrums and Meltdown mini course. This is a limited time offer, so act now. If your toddler has been diagnosed with autism or is waiting for a diagnosis, you're going to want to pay attention for the next 60 seconds. Happy Ladders is parent-led early autism therapy that empowers you, the parent, to teach your toddler essential developmental skills through play. Studies have shown that the parent-led model is highly effective while eliminating frustration over long wait lists or the worry about losing precious developmental time, all without the disruption of people coming into your home. Happy Ladders includes activities that target 150 essential developmental skills every toddler needs, as well as assessments in four different developmental areas. There's also an exclusive community of parents just like you and professional coaching to ensure success for both you and your toddler. To learn more, get a free trial, and take advantage of an exclusive limited-time offer for my listeners, visit happyladders.com. That's HappyLadders. Use the code TheAutismDad at checkout to save 50% off the monthly membership. Plus, get a free one-on-one session as well as access to the Tantrums and Meltdown mini course. This is a limited time offer, so act now. Welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Gorski, and I have two things to talk about before we get into this week's episode. Number one, I just want to take a minute and say thank you for everything that you guys have done. I appreciate you listening and subscribing and sharing and liking and, you know, commenting on social media and Facebook and emails, all that stuff. I really appreciate the feedback. I wish there was a way that you could like leave comments in the podcast. And I know there's some ways to do that, but they're super complex and I just don't want to mess with that right now. But if anybody knows of a way to do that, that's kind of easy, just let me know, because I'd really like to implement something like that so that we can, you know, talk back and forth. The second thing I want to say is if you are a new listener, or even if you're a veteran listener and you haven't hit that subscribe button, just go ahead and do it, right? It's not scary. Just press it. And A, it makes me feel good, but in all seriousness, it'll help you to know when new episodes come out. Normally it's every Friday. It hasn't been recently because I've been migrating from one host to another and doing a lot of back-end stuff before I release anything. And I don't know if it's going to be done before you hear this, but it won't matter because you won't know the difference anyways. It's all on the back end. So that's that. End of the housekeeping stuff, and we'll start with the show. We're going to talk today about difficult situations that we have to deal with when we are special needs parents. There are a whole bunch of things that can come up in everyday life that we have to figure out how to navigate, that we're unprepared for a lot of times. It just kind of happens. And a lot of there's a lot of overlap between that and just parenting in general. But there are some complexities involved with being a special needs parent that are more challenging in some cases, or that make things more complicated or more difficult. And so what we're going to do today is Dennis Procopio is here. He's a friend of mine. He's been on a couple times. He's a male life coach, but he's also a special needs dad. And today Dennis is going to put on his special needs dad hat, and we're going to have a conversation about his journey as a special needs dad. And we're going to talk about things that he has had to deal with, challenges that he's had to face, maybe some specific scenarios that he can kind of walk us through. And one of the cool things about talking to Dennis is not only can he relate as a special needs parent, but he is also a life coach. And so he has a way of dealing with situations and being able to help us better understand how to deal with these situations in a way that's productive and positive and, you know, that promotes a successful outcome, right? Problem solving instead of creating more problems. So I'm really excited about this conversation. I'm excited about all of our conversations and all of my interviews. I mean, I just am because I really like doing this. But these ones are especially beneficial because there's a lot of us out there who are facing these challenges or may face these challenges in the future. So we're going to go ahead and jump in. I'm going to bring in Dennis. And Dennis, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today.
Thanks for having me, brother.
How you doing? For one thing.
You know, I'm doing well. Had a nice weekend with the family. Speaking, but just start right off. Had a nice weekend with the family. I'll share right off the top. I'll share something with you. I think you'll really be able to appreciate. Since we don't script these things, we can start anywhere, right? So this past Monday, my son, who is 11 years old and who has achondroplasia dwarfism, as well as being on the autism spectrum, and he's down in the mod severe end of the pool. This is his first year in middle school. We live in San Diego. We're blessed in that he has had a pretty good ride so far in terms of his school experience. But we have not yet updated our IEP for this new school, and they don't really know who we are yet, but they learned real fast, and I'll tell you why. So I'm in session with, just like we're doing now, we're looking at each other. If you're listening, we're in a
video,
a video situation here. And so this is what I do all day, every day. I talk to guys in coaching sessions, and in the middle of that, I get a text on the bat phone from Celia, saying, my partner, saying, Bennett apparently fell and hit his head at school and he's bleeding and I have to go right now. Now, she's a lawyer, so I know it's not easy for her to just drop what she's doing. So I figured fair is fair. So I immediately ended my session. I told my guys, hey, listen, I'll credit you the session. I need to cancel and go deal with my kid. So there's something relatable for a special needs dad, right? How many times have you had to do that?
Yeah, for real. Like I had, when I first started doing these remote interviews, I can't tell you how many times I'd get a call from the school right as I was like, we just signed in and then my phone would ring and it'd be the school. And it's like, oh my God. But so many of the people that I have interviewed are special needs parents. And so they sort of get it, right? And so they understand, like, life happens and we got to kind of do what we got to do and navigate that. Is he okay?
Well, ultimately, yeah. But so there's the middle part that I guess is what we call content. Right? So let me share some real interesting content. So I'm on the phone, and of course you're looking at this person who is pouring their heart out about their personal problem, and there's some other part of your brain that is engaged with this text message and trying to feel this thing, and you have to make a choice. You know, do I push pause on this session, or do I just tell her, okay, well, I'm in session, I can't deal with it? So first thing I had to do was to say, all right, let's go. I'm going to come with you. So I said, don't leave. I'm ending my session now. So I cancel sessions for the rest of the day. So my gut feeling just says, just do that. We get to the school and the nurse is there. The classroom aide is there. They walk Bennett, my son, outside, and he has an enormous bandage on his forehead. And the story that we get is that he fell off of an accessibility stool, because like autism, dwarfism is legally defined as a disability. And so, you know, he's an accessibility stool was placed so that he could use the toilet. And somehow he fell off of this stool. That's all we know, because he uses the stall by himself. He uses the toilet by himself. The teacher stands outside of the stool. So there was no visual contact. There's no way for the teacher to tell me, or the aide to tell me, what happened. So all I know is I've got a kid with a big golf ball sized, you know, a knot on his forehead. And I haven't seen under the bandage yet because the nurse put it on there, but she said he might need a stitch or two. We go to our local children's hospital, which because of COVID protocols has a line out front as they're doing the best they can to triage so that we don't have more bodies in there than we have to. And so, you know, it's tents and, you know, bulletproof acrylic and all of this. And so finally we get into the emergency room and we sit and we sit and we end up spending the better part of 7 hours, sitting, waiting to be seen. So there's that piece. I happen to have my phone with me. It happens to have a full charge. She plays on her phone. I have all of his apps from his iPad on my phone just in case. And so sure enough, I hand him my phone and I take a note from my own life coaching pages and I sit and I meditate and I validate for 7 straight GD hours. Okay. Bro, but really, actually, 7 and change. I have the parking validation stuff to prove it. So there's that. Now, because my son has, is on the spectrum, he's not really loving being there. So we're going back and forth, walking him around and talking to him and keeping him cool. We do finally get in to see the doctors. I know my son, and I know that he's not going to let you touch his forehead.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. You will not touch his boo-boo. So I lie on the gurney, and, you know, I'm San Diego dad in the shorts and T-shirt and flip-flops. So I lie on the gurney or stretcher or whatever you call that thing, and they say, do you want us to restrain him? And I said, like with ropey restraints or something? No, that's not interesting. I'll just hold him, you know. And so I lie and I hold him. So I basically sort of throw him into a, you know, little Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, I put a Brazilian backpack on him and I hold him. I know that he likes compression. So even though he's fighting me, there's some part of him that's happy to have the skin contact and happy to have the squeeze rather than whatever.
They use like I think they call it like a papoose or something where they wrap them up like a mummy in a blanket. Minus and the extremity that they need to work on, you know, yeah.
Right, which in this case head. Is his head. So So I said, yeah, we're going to do this other thing if you're cool. And they said, we really like that better. So 7 or 8 nurses and a couple of doctors all in blue scrubs are standing around us. They describe the procedure. I say, you can really forego all of the cutesy stuff you're trying to do to get his attention and approval. None of that's going to work. We're on like hour 7 here. Let's just get him the Versed, get him the stitches and get out of here. So, and thankfully mom lets me take charge of this. So sure enough, a syringe up each nostril. They double team him, shoot some Versed up his nose, calms him down enough that I'm able to hold him. They put some stitches in his head. It turns out it's a 1-inch vertical gash by about 1/4 inch wide by 1/4 inch deep.
Holy cow.
I'm trying to figure out how a kid who stands 3 feet tall incurred a head trauma of this magnitude. I mean, it looks like an MMA.
Yeah.
It looks like a Muay Thai, you know, a flying elbow thing. And so now there's a part of my mind that's saying, don't rage, don't entertain punishment scripts when I get to that school, right? Because I need to put the anger and frustration somewhere. I'm like, no, just be present with your son and your partner right now. Be nice to these ladies, you know. And so we get them sewn up. We get him home, and it wasn't until I saw the seriousness of the wound, especially because he has dwarfism, which means he has hydrocephalus. We've been through some serious invasive surgeries,
right?
And a head trauma is bad enough for an average child. But my son with his specific special needs, this was highly concerning. So we ended up getting home. That was Monday. This is Monday, a week later. And our week has been, one, getting stitches in the kid's head. Two, keeping him home for a couple of days and entertaining him in between, like, doing our jobs. Three, getting him reintegrated in the school, only to discover that a ball or two was dropped on their end, yet again, in my opinion. In between, in the 15 minutes between sessions, having to take initiative and begin to coordinate with the teacher, the aide, and all of the other, quote, support team to, one, set up an IEP meeting, and two, set up an immediate conversation about how this happened, how this cannot happen again, how we can visit the school. You see where this is going.
I haven't had a serious injury at school with my kids, but there have been plenty of times where when you talked about how, like, you just, like, you feel like you're going to rage and you're going to go hunt somebody down. That's so true, right? Like, it's like Papa Bear mode, and it's whoever did this, you know, get a head start, 'cause I'm coming after you. How do you, and I guess in the moment when you have your child with you who needs to be cared for, who needs stitches, and you're dealing with that, it's sort of easier to kind of stay in that moment. But when you're done with that part of it, and you recognize now that there's a problem at the school, whether it's safety or whatever, how do you, like, as a dad, how do you, A, like, remain calm, and B, productively handle it, right? Like, because ultimately you need these people to work with you, but at the same time, you also need them to understand, like, hey, my kid got hurt, like, seriously hurt, and we need to get to the bottom of this, and this cannot happen again. Like, how do you do that without killing someone?
Yeah. So it helps that, and this is a lot of information, but just my backstory is I wasn't always the nicest guy, to put it mildly. So 50-year-old Dennis is a kinder, gentler version of the phenom that I used to be. One of the things that I've learned is that self-mastery is really demonstrated in moments where we make a choice between reaction and response. So a reaction is exactly what it sounds like. What happens is there's some stimulus, and then by habit, we exhibit a behavior in reaction to that stimulus. What I've observed is that the behavior is typically learned behavior. Well, you know, we start out as babies, it's a blank slate.
Right.
It came from somewhere. So even though there's the idea that emotion is something that we don't control, I like to think of emote as a verb. And I like to think that I can choose to emote something different than what I'm currently emoting. And that to do so, I have to throw the brakes on. And in my son's autism ABA training, they say stop, breathe, and think.
Yeah.
So similarly, in a moment where I can feel, check in with my body, and feel that I'm making fists, or that my shoulders are tense, or that my breathing is shallow, or I'm looking at somebody's neck, or so,
you know. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I tell myself, okay, dude, take a breath, calm it down. And I run through the three sort of checkpoints that I'm borrowing from self-help, the self-help giants who have existed before I came along, which is, one, before you say something, one, is it necessary? Two, is it absolutely true? And then three, is it kind? So that for me is the difference between a reaction or a response. Because if it's not kind, then I'm probably trying to emote something that is more about punishment than it is about problem solving.
Right. That makes sense.
And that doesn't help anyone. And it doesn't model appropriate choices for the kid. Yeah.
How do you see? I have such a hard time. Like I'm a really chill guy. Like I'm pretty laid back most of the time. But like when you mess with my kids or you mess with people I care about, the civilized part of me seems to have a harder time coming to the surface. And I just want to react. And it's hard. It's hard not to just react. It's hard to sort of stop and think through it before you say something or do something or respond in a certain way. Is that something that had, well, you said this is the nicer version of Dennis, but like, did you have a hard time? Was that something that you struggled with prior?
Yes. We have a tendency to be most aggressive when we feel most threatened, and we feel most threatened when we feel that something, there's some fear of loss, mm-hmm. a loss of control, a loss of power, a loss of what have you. The way that I handled this particular situation, his mother's a lawyer, and I tend to be sort of a flexible authoritarian mm-hmm. in my approach. And so I joke and call us law and order. right. So what they don't know is that she actually is an attorney who specifically works in education law and sits in on IEPs 5 days a week, IEP meetings for children in foster care and with special needs. And she's been responsible for filing several lawsuits against this particular school district. So they don't even know what they're up against. So she's my secret weapon. So I'm like, I'm going to play good cop here. So I use my stern father energy, and I just simply say, yes, it's my son. Yes, it sucks. Punishing is not going to help anything here. I need to validate everyone in this situation. First, I validated the guy who was the aide, and I said, not your fault. You were outside of the stall. You were doing your job. I validated the teacher. And I said, we have not yet had an IEP meeting that put protocols in place for Bennett in this space. So we should probably go ahead and do that. But I'm sure that that was traumatic for you to discover that a student was hurt on your watch. The good news is he's been through worse. He'll be fine. I validated the kid. I validated the mom. And finally, I validated myself for being a good daddy who could control his temper and not blow the freaking spot.
When you validate yourself, what are you saying to yourself?
If you are a religious person, I think that any religious language mantra will do. If you're, if you're Catholic or Christian, you know, the Lord's Prayer is a good one. If you're Jewish, you know, any Old Testament, you know, a little verse that you can pull out that gives you strength. I can play this game all day. But if you're non-secular and you're just someone who's like, okay, I need to run a script that's positive instead of negative. What I do, honestly, I talk to myself as though I'm fathering my own inner child. And I say, you're so cool. You are so calm in this moment. You look so good right now. Your optics are fantastic. Look at how well you are controlling this situation. Bro, you're a stud. If the universe is looking at you through a secret camera right now, you look so good in this situation. Like, and I just keep telling myself, like, all this really good stuff as a reminder, don't lose your cool. It's going to be okay, man. Model for these people what appropriate looks like.
So you're empowering yourself. Kind of, right?
Absolutely. But not in a way that's narcissistic, just in a way that's instead of being a needy man who relies on the validation of others, I'm being a self-validator who has an abundance of validation to offer the people around me in a crisis situation.
And keep a cool head and manage the situation, keep it from getting worse.
I've learned over the years that, you know, the old adage, you know, you get more, what, flies
bees with honey, than vinegar? Yeah, bees with honey and flies with vinegar or something, yeah.
Or yeah, some crap. You be nice is what you learned, right? Be nice. And so at the end of the day, we're talking about a school district where he's going to keep seeing the same people over and over. And we don't want to burn bridges with his support network. So unfortunately, it's a situation where I find that they need to be educated. Why is it my job to educate the educators? Because the reality is, yeah, that's what you have to do. You know, I've got a special needs teacher who I think should know more about autism and dwarfism than I do. But the truth of the matter is, it seems like I know more than she does. So what's my job? Teach her what she needs to know.
Because you're the expert on your kid. You're the foremost. Right? Yeah, we all are. We're the foremost experts on our kid. Our kids, and we have to, they may conceptually understand what certain things are, but they may not be able to apply that to your unique situation or my unique situation. And you have to do that. And for men, speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for all men, I'll just speak for myself. I used to want to just go in half cocked and just have it out because I felt like I needed to purge or I needed to like, they need to know that I'm paying attention to this stuff and this is not going to happen. And I found that there's this two sides to a story thing that tends to pop up quite often. And it's better for me to go into a situation like that, thinking about like the things you talked about, like staying calm. I need to know more information before I can react to whatever happened. And so I can go and I can gather information. And if that response is warranted, then I'm happy to dole that out. But I found that a lot of times it's not, and it's more about miscommunication or misunderstandings and being able to keep myself calm and centered is really important to being able to navigate it and not make a situation worse.
It's really true, that being centered is about, you know, number one, being grounded. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm present. I accept that the circumstances are what they are. And from this moment on, I am going to contribute to solving the problems that I'm able to help us all solve. And I'm going to do it in a way that demonstrates that I'm a good team player. In a best case scenario, if I'm given the opportunity, I'm going to show good leadership. And if there's a situation where someone else is also vying for sort of a leadership voice, okay, I'll give it to them. You know, I'm not afraid to let somebody else take control. I mean, Steve Jobs famously said, you don't hire smart people and tell them what to do. You hire smart people so they can tell you what to do. So if there's somebody in a situation who actually knows more than I do, great, good, take control. But if as a special needs dad, you find yourself in a situation where things aren't going optimally for your kid or kids, and you're in a position where you have to advocate for your child, and you have to interface with members of their support team, whether it's at school or it's the ABA, you know, place that they go to after school, or it's the people that are responsible for their transportation. I mean, there are all these hands in the pie here. What I did that I'm really happy about is the first thing I did is I told mom, I got your back. I'm going to cancel everything. I got you. You're not in this alone. Two, I went and I found my child and I told him, daddy's got you. It's okay. We're going to go to the hospital and we're going to go fix you up. Three, I immediately assured everyone in this situation, it's okay. We're fine. Not you're off the hook, but it's cool. We're going to go ahead and handle the emergency right now, and we'll double back on this conversation. Smiling face, everything is okay. Everything's okay. The next thing I did after the kid was resolved, I wrote an email to the teacher, and I used a tone that was formal, and I don't usually use a formal tone. So I was signaling with the formality, saying Mrs. So-and-so rather than calling her by first name, that this was something that was intended to be the beginning of a documented conversation about the incident. I used a formal tone. I spoke to the incident. I itemized concerns, and I asked that we could first meet officially in a scheduled IEP meeting, but also that we could meet in person and identify, sort of do a little CSI and look and see if we could figure out what happened. Those things turned out to be incredibly useful. And now we're at a place where I feel that they understand that they're dealing with some very serious parents. They are rising to the challenge of helping to deal with Bennett, not only in this, in terms of his safety and this specific issue, but that's now extending into the other places where he clearly needs help. And I think as a result of this, his next 2 years in this middle school and the school that he's going to be sent to after that, I feel like we're developing a good long-range support strategy, and I'm really glad that I didn't blow that over this one incident. Do you feel that?
Yeah, totally feel that. And that's one of those things. I'm so glad you said that, because it's one of those things that I've had to look back, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that, because now that set the tone going forward. What you were able to do was keep yourself under control, handle the situation, rise to the occasion, and resolve it in a way that perpetuates a positive outcome going forward. That's not easy to do. it isn't. So I mean, respect to you, man. Like that's a positive thing. And so one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, I know that there's a lot of special needs dads out there who might come into situations like that where they are emotionally triggered, right? Like their kids hurt, something like that. Do you have a best piece of advice from like Dennis, the life coach? Like how do you keep yourself in check? How do you not lose your mind? And how do you navigate some of these situations in a way that is productive and helpful rather than destructive and aggressive, maybe?
Yeah. Number one, breathe. Do you know how underestimated breathing
is? Hugely.
Freaking breathe. Like, take deep breaths. Just breathe. I have a deviated septum, so it takes me about 10 minutes to fully inhale. But eventually it happens. So number one is, I'm like, it's the biggest irony. I've got this enormous, like, Jew-Italian freaking nose, and I can't breathe out of it. I'm like, come on, give me a break with this. But breathe. That's number one. Number two, check in with your body. I remember once being in therapy and my therapist suggesting that I look at the palms of my hands. And the language that she used, she said this is called a quieting response. Just look at the palms of your hands, because it's a supplicating position. As silly as that sounds, when I've been in situations where I've caught myself making fists, I didn't even realize I was doing it. Well, you can't make a fist if you're literally looking at the palms of your hands. So while I'm not suggesting that in the middle of some whatever meeting or something, you just weirdly start looking at the palms of your hands, I am saying be aware of what your body's doing. Are you posturing? Because a lot of times it's not only what you're saying that's sending aggressive messages, you're posturing, because that's what we do. Dudes in particular, bro, we posture.
It's like not so much how, it's not so much what you have to say, but how you present it.
You're throwing a vibe, man. Yeah. I mean, I could sit here, you're seeing my face. I could sit here and be like, no, everything's fine. We're good. That's,
yeah.
You know, but if you could see my face, you see that there's something ironic, because I'm saying that, but I still look like you're about to get hurt.
As soon as you took your glasses off, that changed the whole like tone of the conversation.
Right. And we do that a lot. And we think we're being subtle. You're not being subtle. So are you leaning forward toward the person you're talking to? Listen to your tone. Can you stand to bring your voice down a little bit?
I know. Yeah.
Can you calm it down? Can you breathe? Can you reevaluate and just take a moment and say, what's more important here? Blaming and punishing or problem solving? If the answer that you keep coming up with is blaming and punishing, then there's a deeper issue. This might have nothing to do with special needs. This might have to do with you missed a lesson somewhere along the way on how to manage your own emotions back when you were a toddler.
Do you find, is that kind of common in a lot of guys?
There are two responses that guys have to feeling threatened. One is to externalize it by being ragey jerks. The other is to choke it down and to play nice guy and to say, this is fine, this is fine, which leads to passive aggression.
Do you want to be somewhere like in the middle? Is that kind of the goal?
Nah, you want to let go of the aggression. Aggression should not be a part of problem solving. You know, there's a difference between being appropriately aggressive and being just malicious. So if you're feeling a need to punish, that's your bad. Whether you're feeling it and you're sending it, or you're feeling it and you're stuffing it, the problem is that you're feeling it. So we're back to the emoting part of the thing that I said earlier. If what you're feeling is a sensation, here, look, two different situations. One, I smack myself in the thumb with a hammer. I go, God damn it. And I throw the hammer through a window to punish the hammer.
Right.
So now I got a hurt thumb and a broken window. That's one response to that stimulus, that feeling. Here's another one. I'm that guy on YouTube who decides I'm going to film myself eating a Carolina Reaper pepper or a scorpion moruga or something that's, you know, north of like a million Scoville units, right? So I eat this thing. It's the same sensation, but you're literally crying. Like crying hot sauce, but you're laughing because you're reframing the sensation, the feeling differently.
So it's all in how you frame it.
It's how you frame it.
That's really good. I like that, how you frame it. I have been working personally on reframing things for the last couple of years, coming out of divorce and adjusting to being a single parent, stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of like ways that I could frame this that would not promote healthy things for me. Or I can be like, look, I've risen to the occasion. It sucks. It's hard. It shouldn't be this way for my kids, but it is. And I'm able to meet their needs, and I'm able to move forward, and I focus on the things that I have control over, and it helps me to kind of perpetuate that forward motion. But for guys out there who struggle with that, or maybe who are stuck, whether it's related to work or parenting or jobs and work are the same, I guess, but relationship maybe, or whatever the situation is, how can they reach out to you for help? Because you can help men in all those different situations better navigate things.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, just as a quick aside, reframing is accepting that you're not a victim. Yeah. You know, you're not a victim because your child or children have special needs. You have a differently abled person there.
Yeah.
That's all different. There's no, you're not a victim. They're not a victim. And if anyone judges you, that's their ignorance. And if you feel that you have to defend your kid, then you might need to spend a little bit more time in the acceptance stage of things. And that's a conversation. So if there is someone who's like, hey, man, I heard you talking to Rob Gorski and I'm picking up what you're putting down, I'd like to open a dialogue. The way to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, which is manuplifecoaching.com. So that's manuplifecoaching.com. And if you're too lazy to type all that, you can also just go to malelifecoach.com.
That'll and take if you're you too lazy too. To do all of that, I'll have it in the show notes so you can just click it. And that's easiest for everybody. If someone wants to reach out to you, what can they expect sort of that process to be? Because I know guys have a weird thing about reaching out for help sometimes because they don't know what to expect.
Yep.
What can they expect when talking to you?
Total orientation. So if you're a guy, you're between the ages of 20-something and 60-something, and the idea of therapy or counseling isn't interesting for you, but the idea of Dennis the bro coach is interesting for you, then first of all, recognize that the whole idea behind the bro coach approach is that we're just two dudes having a conversation. Just get around all the formality. There's literally no obligation. I'm just a dude. You're a dude. Let's talk about some dude stuff. So number one, you're going to go to my website. When you get to my website, you're going to hit the big candy red button that says set up a chat. Once you set up a chat, you are going to end up on my calendar for a time that's interesting for you. And at that time, I'm going to give you a call. When I call you, I'm going to say, hey there, so-and-so. I read the client application that you filled out, which told me some stuff about yourself. And so let's have a 30-minute conversation. If in that 30-minute conversation you say, holy cow, talking to this guy really actually did make me feel like there might be a different way of looking at my situation and I'm interested in finding out more, then you talk to me and maybe we'll set up a Zoom chat for an hour or we'll take it from there. If you're not interested, you say, thanks for your time. See you later. That's it.
So it's not, yeah. And I found that you guys have listened to this, but like Dennis and I've had lots of conversations and it's, I find you easy to talk to and very relatable. And for me personally, because you know, you're a special needs dad, I'm a special needs dad. We have that in common. And so there's that sort of underlying thing. And then we're both dudes, so that's something else that we have in common. And it's just been a really good experience for me. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there who can benefit from this, especially guys who are in our situations, and maybe they don't realize that there is a different path. So my hope is that you guys can see the benefit to getting help if you need it, and reach out to Dennis and, you know, see if that's something that would be a good fit for you. You guys can work together and find a path forward that's best for you and best for everybody in your life, you know? So do you have any parting words of wisdom that you want to impart before we depart? Yeah.
I think you and I have in common that we just kind of, we're real in these sessions. So just if you're a dude and you're listening to this, I am a real guy. I've come from some, you know, one of those backgrounds that I think eventually makes a good book. I have been doing this business now of mine for nearly a decade and have been in education for almost 30 years. So, you know, hopefully if you're someone who's listening to this and thinking this is a guy that I'd like to have a chat with, I'd rather you think less about this as something that I'm doing to hustle up, you know, new clients and more as kind of a service. I'd like to make myself available to guys who otherwise have no one else that they can talk to, because it's getting harder and harder for guys in your demographic to relate to people who validate their experiences. So I just want to end this with, just think of this as information. And if you want to chat, hit me up. No expectation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. This is, we're sort of having a conversation that maybe you and I would have if we were in a private session and go back and forth and we share the experiences and you help me to sort of look at things in a different way that I have found very beneficial in my life. So check them out. All the information will be in the show notes so we don't have to remember anything. And because, I mean, life is just so confusing anymore. So we'll just, you know, click it and you'll be good. So thank you very much for taking the time to come back on. I appreciate you sharing your story about the last week or so. I hope that he's doing okay and that he continues to do better and you guys get all this stuff resolved because I know how frustrating that is.
Thanks, man. Well, listen, I really appreciate you having me and let's do it again sometime.
All right, man. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Ciao.
Autistic kids can sometimes struggle to learn new skills, such as riding a bike, reading, or simply having a conversation to a high level of proficiency and automaticity. Brainiac is a brain enhancement program that gets to the root of the problem. It builds stronger brain and body connections that elevate learning capacity within 4 to 6 months. Brainiac cross-trains motor movement, visual, auditory, and cognitive thinking connections using fun, interactive video games. Strengthened connections allow kids to learn new skills and perform them automatically with more confidence and greater independence. Brainiac is for homes and schools. Visit Kinuu.com, that's Kinuu.com, and be sure to use the code TheAutismDad at checkout to save $500. It's a limited time offer and it will expire on May 31st.